6 minutes past the hour. It is the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you, live from our Nova M Hollywood studios. Mike's feeling a bit under the weather today, and, you know, given the weather around the country, if you really want a great definition of global warming, it's cooling. Because global warming is really a misnomer. It's about climate change, extreme climate change. And if you've never been to Los Angeles, you've certainly seen many more hours of it than you would ever have seen in any other place on Earth, given that everything is about celebrities and Hollywood and such. You know, it's warm and sunny here always, except today it's really weird weather. Ice cold. I mean, we wear down coats when it gets into the 60s. I know you're in the East going, ah, shut up. But it is, for us, it is brutal. But we had 2 years ago tornadoes here made out of sand. You know, it's just not supposed to be that way. So whenever you get, as you know, changes in weather, the pressure drops, you get low pressure, it brings whatever was over at point A over to point B, and we all breathe it in, and you know, we get sick, and it just is so not good. So everybody somewhere is going through something right now. So put some good white light and some mojo out there for Mikey, and he'll be back absolutely tomorrow. Well, today, as you know, if you've been driving around in your car, I don't suppose you could have missed it even for 1 second, nor could you have missed the headlines in every paper, nor could you have missed water cooler talk. This is certainly the only time in my life as a grown-up, where everybody, regardless of their level of expertise, but their level of interest is keen when it comes now to politics. And politics, of course, becomes the overarching umbrella term for life as we know it here in the United States. Everything, the economy, what's going to happen to me next, to people on Social Security, will I have it in 2 months, stimulus package. Well, we're told by the Republicans, the fine Republicans, that, of course, it's the worst thing that could ever happen. Socialism, for God's sake. Socialism. And what could be worse than that? What could be worse than socialism? My God, can you imagine if we took, let's say, our police departments and had all of us pool our money and pay to have police, or all of us socially pooling our money and having street lamps and firemen and worse schools and filling our potholes and, you know. So obviously that's why we do everything a la carte. Everything a la carte. There's no taxes whatsoever, and they go to nothing. Well, they do go to nothing, but we have no – come on, right? What's happening to us, again, so comfortably, uncomfortably, is we're being hoodwinked. Hoodwinked by a handful of people who feel that they have a lot to lose or feel that they're not going to get what they want. What they want is everything. And unfortunately, as you know, there ain't anything left. This is really, really as unfortunately grim as President Obama pointed out tonight. And he did it in his flair-like way. Now, also observe when you catch the pundits later on tonight at around 10 p.m., as they're doing the reruns, they're going to point out that he said a lot of ums and uhs, and he didn't seem to be on his dime, and they'll talk about his nose and his tie and the ears poking out of his ear holes, or hair rather, and all the rest of it. And that's because that's where they're at. But you are smarter than that. You know what's really going on, and you are keenly interested in actually having a president articulate what appears to be some facts, finally. I mean, imagine a president in the last 20 years, apart from Clinton a couple of times, saying, oops, you know, I think I made a bad choice there, going back to earlier, you know, what, about 5 days ago. I mean, what an extraordinary statement in the last 8 years. Have we heard anything like that at all? So we're faced right now, today, right here, right now, with an event that is truly time-changing. Now, I'm going to rewind for a second. We're going to take a look a little bit at this notion of socialism and how it is ubiquitous across the United States. It is extraordinarily evident, in fact, more so than many other places. We just have a different name for it. For instance, massive socialism to the tune of almost $1 trillion is renamed as a bailout. And you hand it to a handful of bankers, which, by the way, Wells Fargo, the big bank here on the West Coast, I had a business loan from them. And I ended up paying off all my loans because, hey, you know, Chicken Little may be right here. And not that I could pay them off, but you know what? Prophylactic care is probably a good idea when things look a little bit rocky at this point. So I called them up, and Wells Fargo was a huge recipient of the gifts of the Bush administration. Huge socialism to the tune of more money than anyone has ever known in the history of humankind, all doled out in one day. I called up Wells Fargo and I said, well, now that we, the taxpayers, have bailed you out, you get to bail me out. In other words, I've given you the money, now you can give me some of that money back and we'll just call it even. Well, that was the same day, by the way, you heard in the news 2 days ago that they had bought 7 days in Las Vegas for the employees, were barbecued chicken, swimming pools, suntan lotion, hookers, the whole soup, cat, and pizzas. And, of course, they couldn't understand why they should help the guy that just helped them. Equally here in California, as you know, no longer is the government offering the refunds that they owe. They're giving us IOUs. So I called up Sacramento, equally saying, I won't be paying my taxes this year. I'm going to instead give you an IOU, since that's official government policy when it comes to taxes. It's interesting. Things seem only to work one way. Let's flash back to this enormous first piece of socialism. This happening, well over a month ago, when Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson was up there pointing out that if we don't bail out the banks, and we have to do it right now, the sky is going to fall and everything is over, and just do it right now, don't ask questions, much like we must invade Iraq tomorrow, or, as Mr. Bush pointed out, the great mushroom cloud would ascend mightily over New York City, which it never did. There was no such mushroom cloud. In fact, there wasn't even a scintilla of uranium at all anywhere in Iraq. But that was known, of course, of Scott Ritter, Hans Blix, in other words, the adult supervision that was actually over there. But as we know, once again, it was a political move. Well, I don't know if you heard this before. Many of you obviously will. But this was a state senator from California, a guy named Brad Sherman, who on those days when Paulson was up there, when Bush made his televisual appearance, the sky is falling, we must give $1 trillion, which is what it all adds up to, unsupervised to all our banking friends, lest the worst thing happen. Well, when he was up there doing that, they went to Congress secretly. This is a Congressman Brad Sherman telling you exactly what the threat was if they didn't cut a check on that day.
The only way they can pass this bill is by creating and sustaining a panic atmosphere. That atmosphere is not justified. Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no. That's what I call fear-mongering.
Yeah. accurately so, by the way. Really amazing. Now, we knew of this stuff. We knew of all the steps that had gone through to create the capability of declaring such a thing. We know that right now, or as of a week ago, we were told, well, you know, there could be some civil unrest and we've got some real problems. Now, Obama's not pulling the same thing. Not at all. Not for a moment. And we'll get into some of the stuff he said tonight, because it's really straightforward. And this stimulus package is not fun, it's not good, but it is a whole lot different from what Henry Paulson, the former Secretary of the Treasury under Bush, listened to him. You probably didn't catch this, it was at around 2 in the morning they replayed this, but have you ever heard anyone in more inarticulo mortis dying babble? This is what it sounds like when you lie. Listen to the stuttering. It's truly extraordinary and wildly transparent.
And as I think we've said repeatedly, we did not have the wind down authorities we needed for financial institutions, that non-banking financial institutions. So I'll leave it at that.
So I'll leave that at that. Yes, yes, please leave that at that. So that was about the that was the official explanation, and I hope you took notes because they didn't have the wind-down authority. Really? Really? Yet they wound it down nonetheless. So that is a trillion-dollar piece of socialism, not a penny of it going to stimulate anything but banks, many of whom are, what, $50 million airplanes being purchased in the last couple of days? What about you? You, who for the next 30 or 40 years has to come up with the dough to pay for this. Very interesting. We'll hear some more Obama. We're also going to talk to a guy who's a bit of an expert on this and put it up in an easy nutshell so it's very understandable. That's really important when you and I, remember, we are the government. They are our employees, and they are supposed to do what it is that is in our best interest. So we'll control that. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show here on the Nova M Radio Network as we continue. It is 17 past.
I wanna be a Republican. I'm tired of doing what I should. Wanna do what I can. Grab as much as I can. Keep it all for me. Cause life is a party, and the grand old party is the party where I wanna be.
Lower taxes are God's plan. Global warming helps my tan. Give a gun to every man to protect us from the Aryans. When you know you're better than all those non-Americans, there's no need to join the Klan. Just become Republican.
22 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Mike is out for the day, dealing with a cold. He'll be back tomorrow, no doubt. And we're taking a look at some really extraordinary stuff, a major day, sort of in American history, a major shift. We're talking about implementing a huge plan. As you know, the Senate and the Republicans have been highly against this, with no full explanation other than they claim it's full of pork. They claim it's full of this, it's full of that. Yes, it is wildly imperfect by many stretches. But, you know, the fact is they don't get anything specifically from it. Therefore, they're not going to do it, nor is it specifically going to any of their chums. Again, let's flash back to what happened under the Bush administration during the time when they were rolling credits before they split. And they basically looted the Treasury and ran. They took $1 trillion and laundered it through a variety of different banks with no adult supervision, virtually no oversight, and then left, just like that. Absolutely, truly amazing. Had this been some third world country, one where we would have any of our 973 military bases stationed, we would have had military activity there. The United Nations would have been called in. I mean, if it were a major country, if this happened in Germany or France, the outgoing president had handed $1 trillion off to his banks with no supervision and then just left and was able to get it downstream, and everyone was off buying airplanes. The people, as they are in France, are out on the street rioting. Well, we're almost there because for the first time in many of our memories, people are waking up. They're seeing things the way they really are. And that's the beautiful part. It doesn't mean it's going to be so grim and so dark and so awful and the worst depression in the history of humankind since the dawn of Christendom. Well, it might be, but it may not be. The more of us that know what's going on, the more of us that have passion for the solution, which really is probably going to be a green economy, something Obama is totally all about, the better the chance of us getting around this thing. Icky as it may be, there still is a great chance. Let's take a listen to one of the things that Obama said today during his address some hour and a half ago. He talked about growing the economy, a key thing to need to do.
But as we've learned very clearly and conclusively over the last 8 years, tax cuts alone can't solve all of our economic problems, especially tax cuts that are targeted to the wealthiest few Americans. We have tried that strategy time and time again, and it's only helped lead us to the crisis we face right now. And that's why we have come together around a plan that combines hundreds of billions in tax cuts for the middle class with direct investment in areas like healthcare, energy, education, and infrastructure. Investments that will save jobs, create new jobs and new businesses, and help our economy grow again, now and in the future.
You know, it amazes me that anybody in Congress or Senate as a Republican, and they all, by the way, look like identical twins. They all look like a bad variation of Newt Gingrich, don't they? Or maybe Dick Cheney with a little bit of libido left. How anybody could stand there and say, tax cuts, that's the answer. Well, listen, look at California, the sixth largest economy on earth, although it is not that anymore now, is it? A place that now has the lowest credit rating of all the 50 states, a place where they're sending IOUs. Tax cuts got us here. The cost of the invasion of Iraq and the subsequent unfortunate slaughter of now known 1,300,000 Iraqi women and children, plus some surviving men, the amount of some 4,000 plus U.S. service people, not to mention the 40,000 who are either maimed or have brain injuries, the cost of all of this now well over $500 billion with a B dollars. Tax cuts, whoosh, who's paying for this? All of this, tax cuts, and now the bill has come in. So if you were to charge something on a credit card, or maybe in the old days you could actually go into a grocery store and charge it, and then they sent you the bill and you said, you know what, I don't have any money, I'm really sorry, but those steaks for the last 9 months and the 200 gallons of vodka I had delivered, they were real nice. Ain't gonna work now, is it? 27 minutes past the hour. Coming up, we're gonna have a quick chat to put it into perspective with Chuck Collins. He's a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, where he directs a program on inequality and the common good. National expert on economic inequality and the current crisis here in the U.S. He's gonna evaluate what we heard. 27 past the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you. It is 34 minutes past the hour. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you. Mike back tomorrow. Taking a look at what happened today, a really extraordinarily important day, probably as vigorous to many if they're particularly older, who might have been or heard on the wireless FDR talking about the New Deal or whatever it was called before it was called that. At least the early machinations of it coming together. We have heard the same thing tonight, and this is not finished, nor is it in any stage near completion. This is still, I would say, a big template. There's still going to be a lot of arm wrestling going on, and we'll kind of see which direction it goes in. Side note quickly, Facebook. You know, if you're not on Facebook in 2009, you're not alive. Like, you're not human, it seems. We've all been reduced to zeros and ones, right? Just total digital essence. I had a Facebook account, whatever you call it. What do you call it? A profile, I guess? You know, like a year and a half, 700 and something people on it. Friends in quotation marks, right? Plus, I've uploaded a ton of videos and all this other stuff. Here is my advice what not to do. I'm going to underscore not to do if you have Facebook. I opened up a second profile and thought, well, hell, I'll just use my same email name, and won't that be easy? I can just put in one login, and I can bring up both of my accounts. What a great idea. Nope. The second you try to do that, Facebook has some weird built-in algorithm that deletes the original account or does something. It may be just sitting in on hold, you know, ticking away somewhere in the background of Facebook's 9 billion terabyte mainframe somewhere. At least I hope so. I am having a hell of a time trying to restore this. First of all, there don't seem to be any real humans anywhere at Facebook. Good luck trying to get a hold of somebody. I'm in week three dealing with this right now, and I can't figure out how to get a hold of anybody or get anyone to respond to this. So for those of you who'd like to say hi and be a friend in quotation marks, I invite you to do so. Maybe somebody knows how to get me in touch with somebody to turn this back on, and I can't be the only one right here saying this to whom this has happened. It's Carrie Harrison, C-A-R-Y-H-A-R-R-I-S-O-N, and sooner or later I will get it up on Facebook, that's for sure. Taking a look at Obama, taking a look at what's going on, the stimulus package, which the Republicans are screaming is horrid socialism. Horrid like, I imagine if you grew up or know of cities where you have a nice big house and a nice big lawn and a nice big police department, nice big fire department that your taxes pay for, pooling your money socially, socialist government, where you socialize the fire care so that your mansion doesn't burn to the ground. That's not socialism. That's called, what is that called? It's called, fire protection. That's what it's called, right? So, you know, when it's time for the taxpayers, by the way, if you've gotten tax cuts, you're not really a taxpayer the same way as the people who are paying taxes. So if the taxpayers are actually going to get money back and you're on top and you're not paying any of that, and you're not getting any of that, well, of course you don't want it to happen. So, that's kind of the plan of that. We'll go to the phones in just a sec. I want to introduce to you very quickly a man named Chuck Collins. He's a senior scholar at the Institute for Public Studies, where he directs a program on inequality and the common good, national expert on economic inequality and the current economic crisis here in the U.S. And he's also coordinating a number of public policy initiatives to reduce income and wealth disparities, which, by the way, more and more are happening. We are becoming and have in the last 8 years dirt floors and marble floors and precious in between, and having last month 500, a half a million jobs vanish, the most amount in what, 35 years. So this is really big for all of us. I mean, I'm hunting and gathering like my forebears. I'm foraging for nuts and bear. Well, I know that's kind of dramatic, but it is really spooky, and especially if you're in a creative field, as a lot of people in LA are. It's let's throw a party. Well, that's not happening so much anymore. Chuck recently co-authored a comic book on the economic crisis called The Economic Meltdown Funnies, and the website is economicmeltdownfunnies.org. The reason you do a comic book is, as you know, humor gets the point across 200 times faster than anything else. Example, Jon Stewart and The Daily Show. More people in the U.S. now get their hard news from Comedy Central than they do from the networks, from CNN, and you know what I mean? That says a lot, that the truth tellers are always in the humor. And we can see that going through human history, certainly English language human history, when we look at Jonathan Swift, who authored Gulliver's Travels, an incredible piece of satire about the crown. Or, right here at home, L. Frank Baum, The Wizard of Oz. Not about spooks. The Wizard of Oz was the Wicked Witch of the East, which was the federal government. Dorothy was the humble farmer from the Midwest. The Wicked Witch of the West was the Dust Bowl and things of that nature. All of this being satire, because you really couldn't yell out how upset you were, because the publisher, much like corporate media today, doesn't necessarily want that kind of stuff said. So you find other ways to do it, hence humor being a great way. Let's say hi to Chuck Collins. And Chuck, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you. And tell us a little bit about what you gleaned from Obama's big speech tonight.
Well, good to be with you, Harrison.
Thanks.
And I hope those 700 Facebook friends of yours can find you again.
710.
Soon. Yeah. Well, you know, I read his speech today, and I listened to the press conference tonight. I thought it was frighteningly reality-based. You know, it was kind of like... He was presidential, and he was basically saying, look, the people who've been picking and attacking my proposal, he sort of unpacked a lot of their criticism. You know, he said, what is the problem with increasing the energy efficiency of a public building? You know, like, really, what's the problem here? You know, he really was calling his critics out.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Chuck, and I'm just going to jump in for a second because I think we need to talk about why he needs to say that. There are a couple of assumptions made. One is we all assume that everyone gets how A fits with B and C.
Yeah.
The reason that you make buildings more green and the reason you make them more efficient is they use a hell of a lot less energy. In fact, they use a hell of a lot less of everything. Now, the assumption is everyone gets that all of this is that waste is bad. They get that a regular, what's known as an Edison light bulb, a regular light bulb that we all grew up with, all will be illegal, by the way, in 2012 here in the U.S. 90% of that light bulb leaves as heat, 10% only as light. So this is what he's talking about. He's making the assumption that all these Republicans who've ostrich-like plowed their heads into the sand willingly and by choice know that this is going on or even care. So that's why he has to say that. Otherwise, we'd all be like, well, what are they griping about?
No, he's I thought one of his strongest lines was he says, all of you who are accusing me of frivolous spending increasing the debt, says, you don't, the folks who presided over doubling the national debt over the last 8 years don't have a lot of credibility here. He says, look, I'm the one who inherited the $11 trillion debt and this horrible economic crisis. I'm the one who's trying to, put forward a practical solution. There's a bunch of people out there just saying, don't do anything. They're not credible. If you have a debate with me about the mix, let's have a conversation. But it's not ingenuous. He was essentially, I think, just calling them out. And I thought it was a very effective speech. I mean, the fact that he's sort of taking this on out in terms of campaign mode and educating people. I mean, at the top of the hour, he said this is like FDR talking about the banking holiday. He needs to get out there and explain how we got into this mess. And, if you have a better idea than President Obama, then let's hear it. But if it's do nothing, I'm sorry. That's
do nothing
not
because the Christmas tree has already been planted and all the gifts were handed out a month ago, so do nothing. We're talking right now with Chuck Collins. He co-authored with Bill Gates Sr., Wealth and Our Commonwealth, A Case for Taxing Inherited Fortunes. His newest book, co-authored with Mary Wright, The Moral Measure of the Economy, examines Christian perspectives on the U.S. economic life that we all live. And it was not that we all are Christians living it that way, but the life that we all live. And it was named as one of the best spiritual books of 2007, according to Spirituality and Practice. And Chuck, we listened earlier to Hank Paulson do the that old thing when the truth is so far, far away, and you just end up stuttering your way through spluttering away and all of this. So we really do know what's going on. And what's interesting is Mike Malloy's audience here have for well over a decade all been in many ways expert on some level or another on all of this. None of this is new news. The tragic part for all of us is that it's actually happened and it's actually real. So the question to you, a guy who's been following the economy, how long, and obviously you're going to speculate, so we'll admit that right up front, but roughly how long and when do you see things balancing out, or do you?
Well, I think it's going to be a while. I think it's the beginning of the unwinding because it's a system failure. It goes back to the fact that we've had an economy organized around funneling wealth to the top, keeping wages low for the majority of people. And so most people's consumption has been based on borrowing, not based on their paychecks or wages going up. And at the very top, we've had the super rich with so much money that they're speculating wildly, and turning the financial sector into a casino. So those are two things that are not going to be easy to quickly reverse. And then as your listeners know, we're not going back to some golden age, whether it's 2006 or 1956. We're never going to be the empire of the world. We're not going back to cheap or free energy. We have a climate crisis that we have to factor into our model of economic growth.
And there's another assumption, Chuck, is that we assume that, well, everyone says or gets that global warming is real, the climate change is real, and you know what? They don't. They really don't. 1 month ago on Fox News, there was they did a story on how it's all BS. It's all make-believe. It's all put up by the liberals. And they cited a Russian scientist. They had to go all the way to Russia to find somebody who would absolutely state it's not real. So, again, we assume that everyone gets that it's real. But you know what? Probably 30% of this country is, I don't know. And to imagine that the ice shelves up at the poles are exsanguinating through their nipples voluntarily, I think I'll melt today.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is really real. But again,
we have this 30% in this country. I mean, these are the folks who, the 28% who thought Bush was doing a good job up until the end, you know.
There really was if you were on the receiving end.
Yeah, and then, well, and then, you know, there was no climate crisis. And so, you know, what's good is that we don't necessarily have to stop and wait for those folks anymore. I mean, I think that the rest of the world is moving ahead politically. I think the culture is shifting. You know, there was a know-nothingism party 100 years ago. The know-nothings still are going to have a representation in Washington, but we don't have to let them block progress. So I think, we're – but in terms of where we're heading, I think it's going to be several years. And it's going to be – we're going to have to sort of build a new economy that's not based on bubble economics, that's not based on – unlimited fossil fuels, and it's going to have to be built we're going to have to build on the real economy, not the bubble or phantom wealth economy.
And we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes, and then we're going to open up the phones for the rest of the show. Chuck Collins, senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, where he directs a program on inequality and common good, co-authored a book with Bill Gates Sr., many other books, is an economist of the human variety, and we're going to find out what our real economy may end up looking like. Harrison with you, 1-800-989-1480, The Mike Malloy Show. Minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show. We are tonight from our Nova M Hollywood studios. Mike is a little under the weather tonight. He'll be back in a flash. So I'm here to talk to Kathy today. He's feeling a lot better. Put some white light, some mojo, some echinacea, golden seal root out in the universe for him so he can feel better fast. Whatever it is, it's going around the country, and it just plain is double plus unfun, as Mr. Orwell would say. By the way, I'm going to post a video on my regular website since Facebook is, you know what I mean, not working so well for me since I'm not on it suddenly, poof, like that. It's GoHarrison.com, and I have two videos that will be up by tomorrow morning. One is the Bush family fortunes, how they have made extraordinary volumes of money in the last 8 years off of everything from 9/11, whether they own the insurance policies on the World Trade Center, to a variety of other things, including my favorite Uncle Buggy Bush and all the other heroes. So you'll have that. You'll be able to see it, listen. And it is, unfortunately, rather fun in a kind of a, you know, what can one say? Let's finish up. We were talking right now with Chuck Collins. Chuck is a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, and he's directing a program on inequality, common cause. Co-authored a book with Bill Gates Sr. called Wealth and Our Commonwealth, A Case for Taxing Inherited Fortunes. Also has talked about Christianity and money and all the rest of it. And a quick wrap-up here, Chuck. What is it that the average guy and the average guyette can do to survive this avalanche of $9.7 trillion worth of bailouts and mess that's in front of us?
Well, you know, part of it is there is no plan to pay for it at this point. And we should be urging Congress, urging President Obama to tax the speculators, to levy taxes on financial transactions and the speculators who kind of got us into this mess. That's one way we could pay for this. But I think it's, you know, just as citizens, we just need to wake up, press to make sure that we have an economic stimulus package that gets money to the states. I mean, California, more than any other state I know, could use federal aid to the states right now. We should shut down the
Arnold
casino.
Has, you know, nine Hummers. And
yeah,
those
nine
are expensive.
Hummers and all those furloughed workers, you know, taking care of those Hummers. So.
Yeah, it's brutal. And not to mention the Chinese, the Saudis, and a variety of other people who own how many trillions in notes and own real estate and everything else. At some point, they may decide they want to call in that credit and say, well, if you don't have the cash, we'll take the real estate.
Yeah, so it's in our interest to not be owned by these other countries and to not just punt and pass all the debt on to the next generation. We need to sort of figure out how to pay for some of it as we go here. And there's a way in which we can tax, I think, you should tax the richest 1% and tax actual speculation, make it an antisocial behavior and tax it. It's clearly brought us to the brink. So, and actually in our comic book, The Economic Meltdown Funnies, there's a couple links to, a number of plans, what I would call the sensible plans for recovery, the things that will help Main Street get back on its feet, and but it just requires we're going to have to wake up. We're going to have a couple years to be contemplating what went wrong and get it right.
Well,
and
you're absolutely right there, Chuck. I want to thank you, Chuck Collins. The website for the comic he just mentioned, economicmeltdownfunnies.org, co-authored a book with Bill Gates Sr., a variety of other ones, and like you, like me, paying attention. Thank God for all the different angles you and I get on this. Otherwise, we'd have a monodimensional viewpoint. That would be either the Senate, would either be Congress, it would either be just Mr. Obama, or it would be the great Hank Paulson. Yes, exactly. So the more the merrier. And quite clearly, just like in the environment, we just have to reduce, and then we will have less owed. 57 past the hour. Harrison with you, the Mike Malloy Show. More to come.
CBS introduces a new television show about America's 40th president that absolutely nobody can hate. It's Everybody Loves Reagan.
Oh, Nancy, I'm home. What's for dinner?
Your favorite.
Oh, goody. Jelly bean casserole. That's my favorite, you know.
Everybody Loves Reagan, the sitcom that's biased towards funny.
You really done it this time, Ron. Your parents are so mad at you, they put up a giant fence.
Oh, no, they don't. Mom, Dad, tear down this wall.
At CBS TV, Everybody Loves Reagan.
Ronnie, the kids are demanding more allowance.
There they go again. Well, I suppose I can trickle down another quarter.
Everybody Loves Reagan, right after President of Queens, only on CBS. Or is it on Showtime?
Well, I can't recall.
7 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show here on the Nova M Radio Network. I am live from the Nova M studios in Hollywood, California, where it is 51 degrees Fahrenheit. Brutal. Brutal. I know that is not music to your ears in places like Chicago where it's 51 below zero, but for us out here, we wonder how the trees can survive this. But it's pretty much like this everywhere, just radical climate change from one place to the other. Certainly the fires in Australia bear this out, and it is a huge wake-up call for Earth of what the beginning is going to look like. You might remember a movie a couple of years ago called The Day After Tomorrow, not the one about the nukes, although that's fairly prescient too, but where there were tornadoes in Los Angeles, we had those over a year ago here, made out of sand, and a lot of other really bizarre weather elements. The reason this really is important to talk about is the future of the economy, the future for you and me, is going to have to be future thinking. Definitely we can't go back to the good old days, because the good old days got us here. And as Einstein taught us, doing the same behavior over and over, expecting different results, is insane. And, you know, we've seen where these policies that many of these Republicans are screaming bloody murder socialism, they want to stick with the same policies. And we're in debt in numbers that have never, never existed in the history of humankind. It's truly extraordinary. And we have to stop. And obviously, we're still going to be debting on top of debt on top of debt on top of debt. To get out of this, maybe they have to print another $1 trillion or so. Maybe we suffer hyperinflation at 200%. Who knows where this goes? But the more of us, the more of you and me that get involved in this, the more likely it'll turn out better than if we do nothing and just leave it up to the grown-ups. Because the wrong grown-ups, who are the loudest and who are the most aggressive, often take the turf. Much like what we learned in the sandbox. Unless the school teacher is there to say, Billy, cut it out! Billy does kick ass and everyone falls down on their back. So we have to take the government back at the same time. And thankfully, we have a leader now, a president who's actually listening. You know, I wish I have a BlackBerry. I wish I had a direct instant message to them. I do not. They won't let me, but that's okay. That's okay. They do receive emails. They do read every one of them. At least they're saying so. And if you've been to the White House's website, if you've seen this thing, it's a real website now. It's not just a happy photo ops of Bush without the bloodshot eyes or without the scabrous crust on his cheeks from falling down drunk, you know, the beauty shots. And that was it. What a swell guy. This one is actually full of information and constantly updating. This is the same guy who promised us, we haven't seen it yet, it's still early on in the game, but when it comes to big decisions, such as what we're seeing now, that he would make sure that all these things were transmitted on C-SPAN so the public could actually watch their government at work. So we're beginning to see some kind of transparency. And obviously it will grow and continue as you and I agitate politely. 1-800-989-1480, our number's here, 1-800-989-1480, 11 past the hour. Harrison with you, the Mike Malloy Show. Let's pop to St. Lou and say hi to Gray. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Harrison. How are you today?
I'm swell.
Hey, I'm going to try to stay on point, but it's a complex question. But it goes as follows. First of all, I thought the president did just a great job tonight, outlining some of the things that he wants to accomplish and all these things that I agree with. But over the summer, when I was giving him my full support versus the condition we're in right now, has me fearful. And you in California are really well positioned to help assuage some of my fears, because many of them center around how California is being managed. And I think you mentioned earlier in your conversation tonight, it's the sixth largest economy in the world, and just the general economic condition there, and the things that you have observed, and the things that we potentially have to do differently, right, that would make it sort of the microcosm for what Obama needs to worry about for the U.S.
You know, you're right, Gray, in that what happens in California typically ends up, you know, going across the country. It goes from west to east, not east to west. That was a couple of hundred years ago. It went from east to west. So we do see that with our power and our structure here. The question is, we have the lowest credit rating of all 50 states. We have, you know, a movie star governor who went with the rich and glamorous and really screwed us, bankrupted us in ways where we haven't even begun to understand. The things that are, you know, when the government employees are being furloughed here, by the way, it's not the ones that you would never see. It's things like the DMV. When you need to go get your driver's license, it's closed on Friday or Saturday, your day off, you know, or they close at 3 in the afternoon. And it's all of this sort of critical stuff. All these people are, you know, all of them are being furloughed. So you've got public service diminishing radically. And then that gets people, when, of course, they're not getting their tax refund, saying, well, I don't want to pay my taxes, which means even less money then to have public services or socialized services, right? So this is really complex here, really tough here. And in my view, one of the things that needs to be done is much of the stimulus bill needs to go to private, now hear me out, small businesses. Small businesses for the last 20-some-odd years have been where a ton of the money is coming from. Their growth, they hire people brand new, fresh, over and over again. They offer niche-type items that you and I want. If I specifically want a whatever, then I go there and I buy it. And these small businesses have fueled so much of the American economy. The big Fortune 500 companies, they have not had huge and enormous growth. They've kept their population sizes relative to what they're doing. But these small businesses, this is the amazing stuff. If we put a ton of money in there and keep that going, that really will help a lot. So,
well, that's my worry. I'd love to be able to retire. My brother lives out there in L.A. with you. And
he lives with me. I wondered who that was.
and the tax burden that you have to bear when you're there just makes it just untenable. And I'm just fearful that more of the same could be facing us elsewhere, unless the lessons from California are well understood by Obama and the people that he trusts.
Yeah, and you know, who the hell does really, really understand this? You have to have all the information to be able to make a postulate or a conclusion or draw up even a summation that's even close to home base. But so much of this stuff is hidden and interwoven in all of these bizarre debts and intertangled investments, and much of it is multinational, and so we really don't know where it starts and where it ends. It's very hard to have a calculus when you don't have all the numbers, the information, and the who did what.
All right. Thank you.
All right, my friend. Take care. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show. 800-989-1480. 1-800-989-1480. How about to Burbank, California? Actually, we'll hang on and go to Stephen in just a minute. Jeremy, you're next, as well as everybody else. Mike is off today. He's got a little bit of the wheeze going on. So put out some white light, some good mojo for him. He's on the mend. He'll be back tomorrow, no doubt. Our number is again, 800-989-1480. If you want to visit me anytime, you can at goharrison.com. And I tomorrow morning will have posted on my website two videos for you. I did a breakdown of all the money the Bush administration has made over the last 8 years on the war, on the Defense Department, on 9/11. I mean, really egregious, bad, naughty behavior. We'll continue 16 past the hour. The Mike Malloy Show. Hang on. You've got to believe. Minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. You can always visit Mike at MikeMalloy.com. Shoot him an email. Tell him get well soon. He should be back tomorrow. He's just got a little bit of a wheeze going on. So, you know, put out some good mojo for the guy. It is a big day for one and all. Many people are just starting to get the severity of the condition out there. And while Chicken Little may or may not be right, it is nonetheless critical that you and I be more participatory in our government. Now, I would say absolutely, completely, comfortably, you know, if you've been listening for the last number of years to Mike, you are so involved. So in no way do you probably need to do more, but just, you know, share what you know with other people. Remember how things worked back in England, back around the time of Fat George, when our ancestors split and said, see ya, and came over here. This would be the ones that were not here on behalf of the crown, the other ones. When they left, some of the only ways they could communicate with each other were in coffee shops. That's where they did the deed. They would meet in there, not pubs, because pubs, the king had men in there listening, but not in coffee shops. And they transmitted so much information, a very antiquated form of internet. And this is kind of our job. For those of you who know things that other people don't know yet, because you have been paying attention, because you have passion for the subject matter, because you really care a lot, you now get to tell people what you know and do it in your own way, your own charming and warm and conversational way, so that they don't feel attacked or insulted like you think they're stupid. That doesn't work, as you know. Just, you know, in a friendly, hey, did you know? Or, hey, I heard this. Or, wow, what do you think of that? And bring them on board as though they've kind of always been there all along. And they'll be much more open to the information. And we can really get us all together here to make sure that the right thing happens. And I don't know what that is either. Again, we don't have enough information to know the full picture and scope of everything that's gone on, the intense level of monkey shines that are incalculable at this point. We just know some of the measures that are going to be taken. And frankly, I think a community organizer like Barack Obama, a guy who thinks in terms of the humans before he thinks of the adding machines, is probably the best choice, certainly at this time. Our number is 1-800-989-1480. Say hi to Stephen on KTLK in Los Angeles. Stephen, you're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, you, Kerry.
Hey, Stephen.
Well, here's what's happening. Vance Packard wrote books about planned obsolescence. And what it is, they would build it to break. So you punch the time clock at the factory, stamp out, burn up a bunch of energy and materials, and crank out stuff. Sell it, it breaks, you go back, they go back and buy more. And it just continues and continues and continues. It doesn't have to be like that. We have to have a new way of thinking. And the new way of thinking is like what Elvis Costello said in the song, you don't really need it, you know? You don't really need to, you know, be wasting all your time and energy on this stupid junk. Build something that you really need, that it lasts a long time, you know, like, whatever, a lawnmower, right? A manual or an electric or gas or whatever. And that's where the small business comes in, with repair and small parts and things that are built to last. Something
yeah, you know, there's a market for, just look at a car. There's a market for just the bumpers. There's a market for just the windshield wipers. It's interesting because my grandmother still has, I don't know what the brand is. I'm thinking Whirlpool. I may be wrong. Or no, it's a General Electric refrigerator with a big handle. It sounds like you're opening an airlock.
Yeah.
And you got to pull. It's like a sepulcher. It's like, you know, a tombstone. You got to pull this thing over, and then a puff of frozen steam comes out. This thing still works brilliantly. And how old is it? 1950 something, I guess.
Yeah.
Almost 50 years old.
Well, it could be more energy efficient. You know, there might be some science done in, like, direct current. And, you know, we're getting a lot of noise from these right-wing clowns, you know. And I don't know why Barack Obama just doesn't put a solar panel on the roof of the White House, and he'll get up to an electric heater in the Oval Office.
Well, he will. He will.
I hope so.
I promise you are going to see a big old solar cell on the roof of the White House.
Well,
and
maybe
it will be on the front page of every newspaper, and that will become the new normal and give the rest of us permission to start to think like that.
Yeah, but you know, maybe he doesn't want to do it right away because he's not sure about how vicious the right wing really is. You know,
he's sure. You know, I'm just so not interested in all of this bipartisan crap. They are what they are, unless they seriously want to change, unless they seriously want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, why would you include people who want to subvert and tear down and destroy? Like, why do you include that? It's like voting for the lesser of two evils. If they're evil, why are you voting for them to begin with? Screw the partisan bipartisanship. These people need to either be on the side of helping. You know, you're either nurturing or tearing down at this point. I sound like Bush. You're either with us or against us. Well, no, I'm sure there's a happy medium in there, but they at least got to get to the middle. We're unfortunately saying that the middle, which is way far to the right, that's not the middle. The middle is actually in the middle. So we probably want to define where that is. 27 past the hour. It's the Mike Malloy Show, 1-800-989-1480. Harris with you. Hang on.
Don't do Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock. Don't do Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
Four minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. 1-800-989-1480. You know, it's a good thing that we have a little break at the bottom of the hour because I just learned condom tips that I had never imagined. All of this prophylactic behavior in the course of saving humanity. So I will do my best this weekend to practice, because practice makes pervert, at least in my book. We're talking a little bit non-perversely about, well, about the perversion of the economy, to be sure. As I talked to my stepfather yesterday, he said, "What economy? Is there one left?" Yes. Well, or no. It depends how you look at it. It's the negative economy, which is robust, if you look at it that way. For every action, there's an equal and opposing reaction. How do you harness that energy and make it positive? So a lot of this has a lot of different thinking going on. Here's a little clip today. Pat Buchanan, boy, do we just love him or what? Every time he used to run for president, he would walk with $5 million afterwards because of all the, federal dollar matching. So he would get 15% amount of signatures or something. His sister, Babe Buchanan, would help raise it, and then he'd get to walk with cash. What a great moneymaker that guy is. So today, he's sitting there with Bill Press on Chris Matthews, talking about Obama having gone to Indiana and met directly with the people. And here's Pat Buchanan's wonderful solution.
And what do you got? You got, I mean, this, I'm sure it's going to do some good for folks who are out of work and need their medical insurance paid and need unemployment insurance. But I just listened to that and I said, where is it? Where is the job they're going to create for the folks in that RV factory? Those are the recreational vehicles, probably 50,000 to 150,000. What is in there besides the 5,000 the Republicans put in as a tax credit for cars?
Well, there you go. What happens to the RVs? I mean, that's really where all this needs to go. Yacht building, RV building, private aircraft. I can see a real need to for, I'm sure, Disney World in Orlando would probably love to have another 300 or 400 acres with some delicious landscaping. I can see a variety of different corporate jets for my new corporation that I'm going to build after the show tonight. Well, there you have it. If that doesn't just sum it up brilliantly, I'm sure he didn't quite mean it that way, but of course that's how it came out, and we can just assume that he really means what he means. After all, he was the official speechwriter for Richard M. Nixon. Let's go to Jeremy on KTLK in Los Angeles. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hi. How
hey.
You doing?
Doing good, my friend.
All right. So I want to talk to you about this stimulus package.
Yeah.
Well, first, let me give you some background. I'm 23 years old. I just graduated from college, and this is the economy that I'm entering. Like, I'm entering the workforce at the worst time since the Great Depression. as the president has mentioned. And I'm upset. I'm upset at the older generation. I'm upset that we've allowed this to spiral and become what it has become. It's something that I think we're going to be looking back on for years and wondering how we got here and how we're going to get out of it. But what I am upset about is the lack of seriousness taken on by the media and especially the Republicans. It's almost laughable considering the excuses that they're making. And I just, this is the first time I've ever called in a show. I'm just so flustered, and thank you for, you know, getting a little bit of humor out of it. But still, the message that you're getting across is, I mean, it's important. This is no joke what's going on right now.
Yeah, it is truly grim. And it's equally wonderful for those of us over 23 to hear your perspective. You are, in fact, the one inheriting the fun, the frolic, the mayhem, the merriment that is this economy, that is, in fact, the superstructure of Earth, including the environment, including the massive debt, including the ownership by foreign countries that have been offering trillions of dollars to this country to bail us out over the last 8 years, etc. You're the guy who's going to be in your prime by the time some of, you know, this stuff starts to get reckoned out.
Exactly. And it's really upsetting. And just to watch the Bush administration come through with these secret emergency funds that they never had to get approved by Congress to continue their secret wars and their detention programs. And it's just truly upsetting. It's like, why don't we declare war on the economy right now and allow, you know, Obama to have full reign over, you know, trillions of dollars to help get us out of this mess? If we can give it for war, we should be able to give it to the people so we can help ourselves.
Well, now, there you just hit the ultimate syllogism, didn't you? The if P, then Q, sometimes Y, unless it's L, which is a lot of this is make-believe. You have a country that is completely, you know, we can't afford education for children. Remember that?
I
a couple
do.
Of years ago? The children, 40 million of them, dying, but we cannot afford to give them even an aspirin. Sorry. We cannot afford this. We cannot afford that. But when it comes to something you want, not a problem. $1 trillion for this. Invasion of Iraq for that, Halliburton having made extraordinary amounts of money off of this, not to mention Eric Prince and the infamous Blackwater. Plenty, plenty, plenty of money when you want to let it go. That's
especially
really
when it's war for profit. War for profit is all good, but we can't, you know, profit off of green infrastructure.
Well,
that doesn't work for these Republicans.
You can. In fact, it is excitingly, excitingly profitable doing everything green. If you think about it, this country, in World War II, one of the things that we did is we took a lot of our car manufacturers and other industries and suddenly retooled them, and they were making B-17s and B-27s and, you know, these big propeller aircraft that would drop bombs, and they were making tanks and jeeps and all the rest of it. And we created this amazing new technical and mechanical environment with our factories. We can, because really, a lot of the stuff that you're looking at right now, Jeremy, if you swivel your head 23 degrees that way, there you go. See that thing? You're probably going to need a green version down the road.
I agree.
This country, like no other place on Earth, is poised, since we did give birth to Henry Ford and the conveyor belt. This country can be the big manufacturer of everything. Quick example, and you already know this. Right now, windmills, they're either built in Germany or they're built in the Netherlands, and then we ship them over here. We pay extraordinary volumes of money to buy somebody else's windmills and bring them over. We could be manufacturing these. If we're going to bail out car manufacturers, let's say, you know what, if you don't want to make that kind of car anymore, your Edsel or whatever, you must return to the American public something they can actually use. And that would mean sustainable, renewable energy. So we're going to take this factory that you've decided to close down or whatever, or you're going to go build one. It doesn't matter. And you're going to start to produce all of these new energy components here. And then you can have the money. It's kind of like when you lend somebody money, you get collateral. In other words, I give you this money, but what do I get back? other than interest in case you never pay the interest. The collateral, and the collateral has to be something real that you and I get out of it, because at this point, Jeremy, and you just nailed it, for many of us, it's life and death.
It is, and the real question is that once we're able to retool our factories and have these efficient green automobiles, who's going to be able to afford them? You know, the middle class has shrunken so ginormously up to this point that, I mean, are the super rich going to be the ones buying these cars? They've got their drivers. They've got Tom Daschle getting driven around, and, you know, who else knows what? There are corporate jets and all this nonsense. I mean,
well, Tom had to,
able to afford these cars. I don't feel like the middle class will ever be able to get back on their feet the way things are going right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, dirt floors and marble floors.
It's unfortunate. But I also wanted to make a point about your last caller, Stephen, I think was his name, who was talking about solar panels on the White House.
Yeah.
And they already have them. Actually, the Bush administration did install them secretly. They didn't want to upset their oil buddies. But I read an article a couple weeks ago saying that the Bush administration did, in fact, install them. Carter was actually the first to install them.
That's right.
And then Reagan removed them.
That's right.
And so they are there. I mean, I'm not sure how much energy they are producing, because Washington seems to be pretty cloudy these days with the winter storm of this economic time. But
well, I'm sure it heats the pool in the basement, the one that JFK so famously
used. Maybe it'll light up Barack's basketball court. We can hope.
We can hope. Hey, thank you, Jeremy. And listen, call anytime you want. Make your voice heard in the public this way. We need to hear your voice. Otherwise,
I appreciate it. I enjoy arguing with my Republican counterparts just as often. But this, I'm glad to call in and contribute. And I love Nova M and the KTalk Network. So thank you very much for taking my call.
All right, my friend. Take care. 1-800-989-1480. Our number's here, 1-800-989-1480. This is, of course, the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you as we continue, and we're taking a look at what happened today, the stimulus bill. Just a quickie as we go out. This is Obama today talking about why government is needed here, and there really is no other solution. As Jeremy just pointed out, and everybody else previous, we're not in a position to buy. If we're not buying, the corporations can't sell. So here's what Obama says, why government is needed.
It is absolutely true that we can't depend on government alone to create jobs or economic growth. That is and must be the role of the private sector. But at this particular moment, with the private sector so weakened by this recession, the federal government is the only entity left with the resources to jolt our economy back into life.
And there you have it. Whether you think it's true or not, it probably is. Minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show here on the Nova M Radio Network. Talking to you from our Nova M Hollywood studios tonight. 1-800-989-1480. Our numbers here. Let's go to Michael in Bronx. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hey, Harrison. How you doing?
I'm okay, my friend.
I saw the press conference, and you know, Obama's been in office for a few weeks now, and it has me concerned as to how many people have really listened to him and really paid attention to what he's been saying. There's a frequent question that's been asked, and that is about pursuing the Bush administration for their past crimes. Now, I'm one of those people. I want to see Bush, Cheney, and all the other Republican riffraffs brought to justice. But if people listen to Barack, he said that he's interested in moving forward, then moving backwards. But at the same time, he said no one is above the law. And those that offend, or should I say break the law, those offenders should be brought to justice. He also stated that it was the job of the Attorney General, in this case, Eric Holder, to bring those that break the law to justice. and that it was not up to him to, it was not up to Obama to prosecute people. It was up to the Attorney General to maintain the law, follow the law, and enforce it totally independent of any and all of Obama's policies.
Oh, you just said exactly what I was going to say. You just so totally nailed it. This way, Obama is not being partisan. It is truly up to an independent Justice Department to serve justice.
Exactly. And what Obama has shown is that he's not going to be a control freak. He's trying to get the press to get familiar with his administration, with his cabinet members who are heads of various departments, that they can go into details. He's not going to steal their spotlight or their days in the sun, so forth and so on. But I want people also to consider this, because I heard this kind of rhetoric also, Harrison. There's some people saying, oh, my God, what does that mean? That means Obama has to get this nation back on track, and if he does that, Bush and company be off the hook, because there'd be no time to prosecute them. If we prosecute Bush and company, then that stops the progress of turning this nation around. Why Obama had said that this would be up to the Attorney General. Has anyone not given the thought that two things can be done at the same time? While Attorney General Holder goes after Bush and company, Obama is fixing the nation.
Well, how do you like that? Imagine the whole government working one day.
Nobody's thinking, and that's a problem.
You know, Michael, I'm still horripilating at the memory of Dick Cheney on Inauguration Day being wheeled out of the White House. And let me ask you, Michael, have you ever seen anyone in a wheelchair with a cane at the same time? Do you remember this? And Biden was walking behind him some 10 feet. If Cheney were in that critical shape, which they said the official reason on CNN is, well, he was lifting his own boxes and his doctor told him he had a bad back. Dick Cheney lifting boxes. I don't think so. It is such a Karl Rove, beautiful, premeditated, beautiful televisual moment, swinging Dick Cheney, wheeled the cripple, being pushed down the ramp all the way to the... If he's that bad, I want to see gurneys. I want to see a medevac out of there.
Let me tell you something, Harrison. With the regards of the cane and wheelchair, that does not make sense unless if you really suffered an injury that's not related to box relay. Because just last week, you know, when we had snow and ice here in New York City, I slipped on the ice and broke my fall but twisted my back. I had to go to the doctor and go for x-rays. I had a cane with me, but then they wheeled me around in the wheelchair also. But that's just on the premises. But I wasn't in the wheelchair 24/7 as Dick Cheney was presented to be. You know, I still had to use the cane and et cetera. But, you know, the thing is that with Dick Cheney being wheeled around, that definitely was a mockery. And to me, it looked like a stunt to win some kind of, oh, look at poor Dick Cheney. Like,
poor.
He couldn't get people some sympathy after all the crap that he's pulled for the past
year. I wish somebody had run up with a rectal thermometer and checked the temperature of the seat to see exactly how long he'd really been sitting in that thing.
You know what would have been funnier, though, Harrison? Have you ever seen the movie The Naked Gun?
Love it.
Love it. You remember towards the end in which Norberg, played by O.J. Simpson, was in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
And he was giving a pat on the back like, great to see you.
And
then he's rolling down the steps and then hits the balcony and boing. Yeah, I'd like to see Cheney do that. And let's see him stop the wheelchair and get up out of it.
And
we'll
start.
See how injured he really is.
It's a start, my friend. Hey, thank you so much for your call.
Oh, my pleasure. Keep it up, buddy.
All
let's
right.
Keep a lookout.
Yeah, you too. All right, take care, my friend. 800-989-1480, our numbers here. 1-800-989-1480. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you. Mike, as you know, is a little under the weather today. Looks like he'll be back tomorrow. Put out some good stuff for him. Check him out, of course, at MikeMalloy.com. Constant updates on everything there. Plus, by tomorrow morning, I'm going to have two videos loaded on my website. One chronicles the entire profiteering operation of the Bush family, the Bush crime family, using a Mike-ism and how they've done it and what they've done and to what extent. In about 2.5 minutes, a delicious little stereophonic video just for you. And in there, we talk about such notables as Uncle Bucky Bush and Marvin Bush and Neil, all the brothers, and all the goodness and love they've given. And that's at GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com. And don't forget, this is not some big boo-boo. Iraq is not some mistake. They didn't screw it up there. It has all gone exactly as planned. Do not forget Grover Norquist. Many years ago, over 8 years ago, saying we must be able to drown government in a bathtub. And they have done it. And this now is what it looks like. But it doesn't need to remain that way. Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a Sisyphus-type uphill push of that boulder. But it's a push. And the fact is, these guys, these neocons, are no longer in the same... They don't have the same foothold. They're still entrenched in there. We now know that a lot of Pentagon officials do not want Obama to pull out of Iraq. Doesn't matter. You and I are now in charge, and we got a guy who is listening. 57 past, Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Past the hour, Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show, live from our Nova M Hollywood studios tonight. 1-800-989-1480. 1-800-989-1480. Taking a look at turn of events today. As you know, Mr. Obama made his very first big news conference today as President of the United States and started to roll out the carpet for, I would nowhere near call it a new deal, but a newer deal than the deal that we didn't have, which was a no deal. So at least we're going in some direction. Sadly, it is a huge bailout, but since many, many, many of us cannot go out and be, vigorous customers, people who are selling things are not selling as much, so then they're laying off people. The more people that get laid off, the fewer people that can go buy things, and, you get it. It's just real compression. So in the Keynesian way of looking at things, if there really is not enough private sector activity, like legitimately not enough private sector activity, there is only one other big customer, and that would be the government, which is our money, putting our money back to us. So in many ways, it's recycling. Then you look at the Republicans who are using terms. I think it was Britt Hume on Fox referred to Roosevelt's policies as a jihad against private enterprise. And they've all been bad-mouthing Roosevelt and the New Deal as though it were nothing but collapse, calamity, and travesty. And yet it gave birth to our internet. No, that was Al Gore. No, it wasn't Al Gore. It gave birth to the interstate system, at least through Eisenhower, but it started the road to that, if you will. It gave birth to, electricity on all the farms across the U.S., the Hoover Dam. I mean, so many things happened, really a massive restructuring. And we're probably going to see another economic bubble, which is probably the only way we can really get out of this, sadly, but that's the way if our current economy stays structured. We still use the Fed and a lot of these external forces, which willy-nilly control how the economy works. A bubble may be the way, as it has been for the past 20 years, and it may be a big green bubble. Lots of manufacturing, rebuilding everything you know into a green version. All of that has a very positive upside. Of course, manufacturing it does take a lot of fuel and a lot of energy, but then if the energy is coming from windmills, solar cells, geothermal, and a variety of other sources, it's more or less free. So it's all available if we want it. And we know if we want something, we can get it. When George Bush wants to hand $1 trillion to banks, he goes to the printing press, just like that. Even though there's not even 18 cents for children with cancer, there's $1 trillion for white guys like me, blonde hair, blue eyed guys that need to have $100 million. I don't, although I wouldn't mind having a little bit. Even just 1/10 would be kind of nice. That's not going to happen, likely. Nonetheless, this kind of stuff is recycling upward. It's trickle up. It is, it's egregious. Because guess what? It's not free money. It's not make-believe money. It's money that you and I now owe. So Obama comes by with a real-world solution to much of what Bush has created. Remember, he mousily came out. Bush did, and declared that the economy was in shambles and shucks and gee whiz and gosh, and then left, and that was about that, right? He has fully been complicit in that since day one. This was part of Bush's plan, part of Cheney's plan. This is what it looks like. They won. They have left rich. They have left with all of their contributors, all of their chums, huge major corporations, ExxonMobil, the greatest profits ever in the history of any corporation, while the rest of us were paying $4 plus for gas. This was a planned event, and this is the aftermath. And they want to run, and Dick Cheney leaves the White House in a wheelchair so that we feel bad for him. And now you sort of hear this uttering, well, we just need to move forward. You know what? We need to decide that illegal, corrupt, and bad behavior is illegal, corrupt, and bad, and actually, legitimately, and legally stop it and declare to the rest of Earth, which is inextricably intertwined with us, that we don't do that no more. And so we need to go after these puckfists, these blatherskites, these poltroons. Isn't that a great word? And whatever it means. And let them know that they ain't going to get away with it. Because if they do, that means that you and I are complicit. That means that Obama is complicit. That means that it's really okay. Wink, wink. And it really is not. Let's say hi to Barbara in Venice, California. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome. Barbara.
Hi. This is Barbara. And Harrison, thank God you're back.
Well, I know just
you're
for a
just
night.
Filling in, but I love you. I've missed you. And I've been hoping and hoping and hoping that you would be back because you were my favorite.
Well, I had such a good time on KTLK. What a wonderful radio station. And I'll tell you, and this is not in any way to diminish the power and the impact and the amazingness of everybody listening. People in Los Angeles, and remember, people have only seen one dimension, what they see on TV about people in L.A. Let's see, Botox, right? That's it. What more do you need to know?
Right.
You know, this is, I mean, people here, you know, they're environmental. I think we're polite. You know, yes, there's 18 people that live on Botox and they end up on TV because they're really bizarre and they make for good television. But the rest of us are dull and kind of normal. And it really is a wonderful town and we're really lucky. And now, you know, with Mike Malloy's show and Nova M, all of us get to be in the sandbox at one time. And this is really an amazing time in history, especially what we're going through right now.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a website?
Yeah, it's GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com.
Okay, great. Because I want to keep track of you.
A quick question on this subject that we're talking about. Have you ever in your life, and you've seen economies go up and down, you've seen them compress, you've seen them expand, have you ever seen anything like today? And what do you remember? Because depending on how old anybody is, how did people get out of this? What did people individually do when they saw economies scale back?
Okay, I was born the month after stock market crashed in 1929. And I lived through the Depression. And thank God for FDR. And thank God for Barack Obama. But what the heck are they doing by giving all the money to all the rich bastards? Sorry. It's the poor people and the middle class that needs help.
Well, yeah. And, you know, you have to understand that the poor people in the middle class are not really people. And I'm going to explain what that means.
People not to this government.
Right. People in this government or the still existing government, people are people with money, power, and prestige. That's what the definition of a person is and people.
That's what caused the French Revolution.
Well, this is the Weimar Republic. I mean, let's go back to before.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Weimar Republic where you bought your own insurance and you got to use it unless you have, you know, a hair follicle sticking out at 32 degrees. Then, well, you can't use it and all these other exceptions to everything. And people just got screwed so badly. And we've been living the Weimar Republic for the last 20 years, which is totally predatory.
You know, I mean, I am a John Stuart Millvian. Unto the worker belongs the fruit of his labor. What the hell are these CEOs doing?
Well, because they can. You know, we look at these huge salaries and think about why they get a million or 10 million or $50 million salaries and bonuses.
They're not worth it.
Well, it's not that the stockholders or that you and I give them that. They give it to themselves.
I know.
As a little magic gift because they're such great guys.
And it infuriates me.
Well, it's stopping. It is stopping fast. It's stopping for real. And thank you so much, Barbara, and have a great night and stay active.
Well, let us do what we can to correct the situation.
Absolutely. You know, I was talking to Gore Vidal about a year ago. And Bush, obviously still in office, still had another year of just, you know, really screwing around with stuff. And I asked him, so what do we do? He said, you know what? Throughout history, there's been only one solution, agitation. Agitation. The agitation is what makes it happen, just like in a washing machine, right? 1-800-989-1480, 1-800-989-1480. Harrison with you, Mike Malloy Show.
Hello, NSA, I just called you to say I love you.
I love you
because you really listen. Tell Condoleezza I ordered extra cheese.
21 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you from our Nova M Hollywood studios. It is the Mike Malloy Show. Happy Monday. Happy with a lowercase h, of course, as we're coping with the almost new deal or the newer deal or the newly newer, whatever permutation this thing is, phase one, really, of altering it the way we know. Obviously, this is not the final version. It's barely the template. But, you know, one of the reasons, and we'll get to Ryan and Tony and everybody else in just a quick second, I promise, no great pontificating here, just a bit of one-minute pontification, if you don't mind. One of the differences that's going on here, and the reason there's so much arm wrestling, when Bush put through his bailout, there were basically 3 days. He went on TV, said, we're all dead, and we've got to do this. And we now know from Representative Brad Sherman of California that many members of Congress were threatened with martial law and crackdowns on the American public if they didn't go for it. So there was no time for any of this give and take, this debate, this tennis ball floating back and forth from court to court. Obama, on the other hand, seems to play by the rules. He brings it up to the public. What do you think? Flies out, talks to them. It is your life. It is your future. It is my life. My future. He actually comes to us and tries to get permission to do this thing. If he doesn't get it, it ain't going to happen, quite clearly. And he's not going to threaten martial law. I really doubt that. So there's plenty of breathing room for the Republicans to get up day after day after day. That's the difference, and that's why we're seeing all this. Had people been given the same opportunity when Bush declared we've got 3 days to let Hank Paulson give $900 billion to banks with no oversight, you know, or we've got 3 weeks to talk about it, oh boy, would it have turned out differently. You better believe it. All righty. How about to Ryan on KTLK in Los Angeles? You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hi, just a quick thought.
Yeah.
Imagine if Bush's privatization of Social Security had actually happened. Guaranteed the money managers would have put those funds directly into CDOs and credit default swaps and other, you know, risky financial instruments. And the elderly would be eating cat food right now.
Oh, man, it would have just been, and that was one of the things that we were all screaming about 5 years ago when that was the topic du jour, privatizing Social Security so that it could simply grow, knowing that the profits would all end up in administration and all end up in the stock brokerage firms, which you're exactly right. And had there been bailouts, it wouldn't have been to bail out Social Security. It would have been the firms managing it, much exactly as when I mentioned in the first hour, Wells Fargo is bailed out. But I, who have this big credit card debt with them, am not bailed out, nor are they even remotely interested in even giving me a lower interest rate.
And another quick comment, and that's that I don't even think that we've seen the full iceberg. I mean, we're at the tip of the iceberg as far as this financial crisis is concerned, because nobody, there's this countless trillions of dollars that are just unaccounted for. So this is not over, and I'll leave with that.
Okay. Thank you, my friend. Take care. That opens up a line, 1-800-989-1480. And you know what? We haven't even begun to see what's going to happen with the credit cards. We're still dealing with the aftermath of housing. And you know what? I didn't buy a house. I'm not one of those guys. You know, did you specifically? Maybe you're not one of those people either. But the ones that did, a lot of this is because of that. We haven't even begun. How many credit cards do you own? Think about it. What? 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5? Who knows, right? Think of all the credit cards in this country and people not having enough work to be able to pay even the minimum payment. What happens? We haven't even begun to see that yet. So is the next bailout, again, the banks, but is it MasterCard? Is it Visa? Visa's private, not public, as you know. Is it, what is it? What does it look like? We haven't even begun to see that, and where does that cash come from? There is some big stuff afoot. So real thinking here. Well, we are really thinking. Again, we don't have all the information to make the perfect, well-rounded analysis yet, and we're going to need to insist upon that, and at least Obama is trying to gut that out. I would like to see Bush, Cheney. I would like to see Hank Paulson, who, you know, rewarded Goldman Sachs for screwing things up. It's like, you know, the people that cause the problem, you go to them for the solution. Again, Einstein, you know, you don't find the solution in the place where the problem lies. And all the people that caused all of this problem that we're seeing today all got rewarded. And you know what? What are they actually doing? What is Lehman Brothers actually doing, formerly so? What is Merrill Lynch actually doing to help the economy, to help the Americans, to help the people that owe them money? Well, this is a good question, because according to Hank Paulson, just be happy. As long as they're happy, everything is fine. Ah! I say. 1-800-989-1480. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you.
Too high.
This is Rush Limbaugh, servant of humanity, talk show host, hemorrhoid sufferer. Folks at over 300 pounds, I know the agony of this kind of dilemma. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you there's help. With new Preparation Rush and my Rush to Excellent Suppositories, now you can end the pain and itching of hemorrhoidal tissue. Just look for my picture on the box of suppositories and the applicator tube, another fine product from OIB, the Obesity in Broadcasting Network.
34 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show, live from our Nova M Hollywood studios. Our number is 1-800-989-1480, 1-800-989-1480. Taking a look at the events of today, really a historical day. People will be referring to it for some time to come as we continue going up and down the whatever colored brick road this thing turns out to be. Let's say hi to Tony in Long Beach, California. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hello there.
Hello.
Yes, just wanted to say, just like the lady, I missed you, and you were my favorite, and I'm glad you're back, and I hope you do get a show 5 nights a week, too.
Well, I appreciate it, my friend.
Just like before. I wanted to say that Dick Cheney, a few mornings after the inauguration, they interviewed him on Channel 4, NBC.
Yeah.
And they asked him, was your administration successful? And he said, yes.
Of course he did, because it was.
He said...
In the calculus that he uses, it was wildly successful. They ran with the loot.
He said, in that there was no child left behind. Lie after lie, I almost puked on myself. I had to switch a channel. Then a week after Obama got in, he started
attacking. Or more no child's behind left, more accurately.
Then a week after Obama, he began attacking Obama about him closing down Guantanamo Bay and running the fear tactics about a nuclear bomb is going to go off in the U.S. You've had your time. I mean, this is Obama's time to lead. Leave the man alone. You've had your time to lead. You've failed. Just leave the man alone.
Oh, he's not about to leave Obama alone. Not for a second. No. Dick Cheney, you know what he needs to do? He needs to go back to his natural life. His natural life, his natural state, is tied up in an S&M-type fashion with a ball gag in his mouth, leaning back with his milky white man boobs and those 8 gray hairs, and his wife, Lon Chaney, or Lynn, whatever it is, bullwhipping him across the chest because he's been a naughty bad boy. That, I think, no, actually, he would get pleasure out of that. What would be good? I don't know. Anyone who knows what might... what might actually disturb a disturbed man like Dick Cheney, please let me know. How about Liam in Duluth, Minnesota? You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
I just threw up. I just, all over the steering wheel.
Congratulations.
Oh, the Starburst that I had. I wish I had those.
So, go ahead, my friend. Choke it down and...
All right. Okay, I'm okay. Am I on?
You're on.
Oh, I had no idea.
Well, now we also know all about your medical situation.
Let me wipe this off here.
Please do.
Okay, well, yeah, I was just calling because I was wondering if you guys knew when they're going to push this Eric Holder thing through and get him nominated. Because it seems like they're stalling until March when the warrantless wiretapping statute of limitations runs out.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the plan. It looks like it's going to happen. I'm confident that it's going to happen completely. I mean, all signs point to that occurring. You know, any way they can stall, they can slow things down, they will, just purely because it's irritating. Some of this is really childlike emotional response. Not everything is cold and calculating.
It's infuriating for us to wait for them to nominate somebody who's qualified to take care of these issues.
Yeah.
But if they don't, I'll tell you, if these Republicans don't like Eric Holder, I got a couple other qualified candidates that I'd like to suggest. One of them is David Iglesias.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the next one up would be Carol Lamb. You remember those people, don't you?
Yeah. I'm trying to imagine.
I wonder if the Republicans would.
Well, you know, I know a few dog trainers that I think would be good in there, too. I don't know. We'll have to find out. Hey, thank you so much, Liam, and good luck with your gastrointestinal ileitis.
Well, you really shouldn't be so vivid in your descriptions.
I know. I'm a writer. What can I say? It's those reverse peristaltic surges that take us all down, don't they?
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Drive safely, my friend. Let's go to Nora in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Oh, hey there. Maybe both of you missed what I saw on C-SPAN. Eric Holder was sworn in last Tuesday by Joe Biden.
Well, that's what I thought.
But what I called about was something else. Oh, my God. Were you aware that Wells Fargo claims that they didn't ask for a bailout? They were forced to take money. And doesn't that rouse up a vision of Hank Paulson as the head robber standing there with the piles of money and saying, come on, you got to take it all now before they start realizing what's going on. Just take all these hundreds of billions right now. I sell it.
Well, you know, that is the way it happens, isn't it?
I mean,
think about it. There you are at work, and your boss comes up and says, I'm giving you a raise. And you're like, well, you know, I'm really okay at this really low income level. I'm quadrupling your salary. Here's some gold bullion in a bag, and your new Rolls Royce is outside, and if you don't take it, you're fired. Doesn't that feel natural and normal?
I just thought that was amusing that Wells Fargo is now sitting there claiming we didn't. They forced us to take the money.
Well, I said in the first hour that I had phoned them up because I had a credit card with, you know, I don't know, $6,000 or something on it from them, a business credit card, which I think now at this point I stupidly paid off because I'm thinking, oh, geez, if it's getting really grim, I want to be able to have some kind of credit still. Credit is going to be meaningless in about a month. Really. Like, I got a 750 on my credit score. So what? But
I called
them up and I said, look, you guys have been bailed out by me and all my little friends here. And, you know, now you could bail me out. Like, lower my interest rate or do something. You're rich. So help me out. Nope. Sorry. Not interested.
I wonder if you heard about that today when Ralph Nader was on the Tom Hartman show and they both came to a complete agreement that we are not in a recession. This is the leading edge of the next Republican Great Depression.
Well, it stands to reason that it is. Certainly the rest of Earth seems to be looking like that, what with Iceland having now become just land. You can get rid of the ice. We can get rid of the green that it is. You know, what with the riots all over Africa, people for food, we're seeing this everywhere. How long will it take if, for instance, we get hungry here? I mean, it could happen if there are no vehicles on the road going back and forth between the grocery stores because, well, the drivers have been laid off because fuel's too expensive, because hyperinflation hits at 150%. You know, how do we eat in urban areas? People who live out in rural areas at least can plant a decent vegetable garden, I suppose, in the backyard and eat their collie. But, you know, the rest of us in a big city, ooh, you know,
So I heard California is going to be kind of out of luck for water and growing.
Well, you know, this has been a big battle for well over 30 years. You know, we get a lot of our water out of Colorado and the Colorado River. And, they seep it off here and take it there and send it there, and all of that's likely to change too, because much of it is for irrigation. But if the private companies that are growing the avocados and the cucumbers aren't doing that anymore, so where do you put the water next? Don't know. I mean, all of this, there's so much that we don't know, as Rumsfeld would say. It's the unknown unknowns rather than the known unknowns that are knowable when the unknowns are not know. You know what I mean?
Et cetera. And speaking of California, you know, I was out there in 1970 as a pregnant hippie, and later on I went there to visit, and they were putting in this new rule of three strikes, you're out. Anyone who got any third felony locked up for life, that's what that state wants to pay for. And I, at the time, I said, this will bring California down. This is so cruel. And then it turns out when they tried to put it on their initiative and referendum to remove it, decades later, the guard union, the prison guards union is so strong, they're able to bully the California electorate to not be able to pass to get rid of that three strikes you're out, and it's bringing down California. Their whole finances is being poured into being a police state, right?
Well, partially, and I'm not sure exactly how that all worked there. I do know that every time a politician, wherever they are in the United States, says, I am tough on crime, and this is what we have to do, it is a home run politically. So it's not endemic specifically to California. It's sort of universal, excellent politics. Harrison with you. You know, I remember last Tuesday, Eric Holder getting sworn in, and then I thought maybe I was thinking of somebody else. Maybe I watched somebody else. So I apologize for listening to him. Nice guy. But I thought, yeah, maybe I saw, yeah, I think, yeah. Too much television, even if it's C-SPAN. TV rots your brain. It is 46 past the hour. Harrison with you, 1-800-989-1480. And Rush Limbaugh has something to say, believe it or not. We'll find out what next.
But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong. There's a verse missing out of this song. Everything you know is wrong.
Minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show here at our Nova M Hollywood studios. 1-800-989-1480, our numbers here. And just want to share with you a little tidbit from Rush Limbaugh. And this will, I think, fully explain the thinking behind everything we've been talking about tonight. Why are the Republicans so against this? Since when have they been against hurling cash unless they're the ones getting it, okay? Rush Limbaugh, this is a news article on Yahoo, whatever that means. It must mean Yahoo! Limbaugh opposes health provisions, fears his medical records might become public. So here you have somewhere who's somewhere to the right of Attila the Hun, who would just as soon, you know, do whatever the big corporations want, and is suddenly on the side of the ACLU. Why? I don't want the federal government looking into my medical records. You just never know who's going to get access to that, and why I'm concerned about my fellow Americans and all of their privacy issues. Now, of course, we should tap all the phone calls through the NSA and download every JPEG that everyone's looking at and store those in the NSA. And, of course, we should, read your mail and, you know, basically remove the Fourth Amendment. But when it comes to medical records, do you have a cold sore? Is that a herpetic blister? Is that carbuncle? Yeah. Or, why, there's OxyContin in my bloodstream. Ooh, I think we got a little close to something. So with the Republicans, it's always about self. As soon as self is involved, then they will do what they do. There's your new, whatever it's called. I don't know, peanut butter sandwich. Whatever it's called. If it involves them personally, they can either profit or become damaged. They will go with wherever the wind is going. But if it doesn't in any way affect them in a positive or specifically negative way, they stay out of it. So this is what it's all about. If suddenly Obama said, you know what, let's make this 90% tax cuts for rich people and 10% bailout for, Piper Cub manufacturers, for all those nice people who have those private planes, they'd be all over it. Well, if we don't pass it in 8 minutes, they're going to be blowing up half of Manhattan. My God, the terrorists. Right, exactly. Let's go quickly to Sam in Guardia, California. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Yes. I want to know where in the stimulus bill is there oversight for diversity and employment? Let me make my point first, and then you can answer that. In California, for an example, most of our roads and our highways, our buildings, and almost everything that we've had constructed in the last 5 years has been constructed without diversity. If we have a bill that's coming out right now and the contractors get the money to build infrastructure, they're going to hire whomever they wish to hire to do the work they need to do. In that package, we're going to have a training program so that the entire populace, and I'm not just talking about one ethnic group, I'm talking about all Americans, will get a chance to share in that money that's going to be put out in this public. Otherwise, the people who are trained to do the work right now happen to be one group of people. And it's no fault of ours. It's no fault of theirs. It's just that most Americans were going somewhere else, doing something else, and one group got trained in doing what is called skill work, and that's the kind of work that's going to happen as a result of this stimulus package.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, and I don't have that answer. I'm guessing that much of it will fall under pre-existing federal law, which does require certain diversion to diversity. We saw certainly after Katrina, you know, it became a Halliburton project as opposed to, and then it changed, and they actually were having to begin to employ domestic people from the state of Louisiana, thank you.
Louisiana, right?
Right, and neighboring states, and of course a lot of people came in from Florida too. That became, once people started to think about it, it started to make a little bit more sense. Because if all you have are, let's say, white-collar jobs that need to be filled, and people have already schooled for that, and it was their choice and by design, it's probably just as fair if that's where all the cash is going, since it's all of our cash. See, this is the part that's interesting. It's not just some people's. It's all of our cash, all of it. And if you don't have much money and you're paying 8% sales tax, as we do here in California, and you don't have much money, you're paying a lot more in tax than a guy who's got a ton of money buying the same candy bar with 8% tax. To him, it's nothing. To you, it's 8 cents on every dollar.
Without doubt, and this is the problem. I've traveled the nationwide, and the problem for the infrastructure, training programs, and for the work that's taking place, I don't care from the West Coast to the East Coast, it's just one group of people doing the work, and it's just going to be a real problem if they disperse that money and don't have neighborhood training programs so that the entire populace can get involved in this process. And we're going to have to push that, and if we don't push that, I'm going to tell you now that the contractors, when they're fed that money, they're not going to go out there and try to train people. They're going to go out there and find those people who are already trained to make the money. And
yeah, they'll take a contract out on the American public like Newt Gingrich did. Keep agitating, my friend. Keep it cooking. Harrison with you. Michael, no doubt, be back tomorrow. You can visit me anytime you want at GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com. Tomorrow on my website, a delightful video about Bush profiteering.